Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
Today, I want to talk about being resilient in our faith. I want to talk about being resilient in our faith by our daily rhythm of prayer. Since the very formation of our church, prayer has been a core part of who we are as a church family. It always has been, it always will be. Prayer has always been a part of who we are. Prayerfulness is in many ways a large part of our identity. It's deeply ingrained into our DNA, and this is why we need to talk about it as a part of our rhythm, of our daily rhythm of devotion, being devoted in times of prayer. Prayer is something that you can do by yourself, and prayer is something that you can do when you gather together as a church family, as we have done multiple times already today. Prayer is something that sometimes it is best when you are by yourself praying, and sometimes it is best when you are gathering together with a few friends to pray on assignment in a specific area. Prayer is sometimes best when you gather together with your entire church family to pray something through. I have found that it is easy to worship here at Cornerstone Church, not just because of the building that we have. It is easy to worship here at Cornerstone Church, not just because of the talented musicians that we have. It is easy to worship here at Cornerstone Church because this is a house of prayer. When people pray, God is honored in this atmosphere, and God enters into the atmosphere because people pray. God is honored in an environment of prayer, and so you can experience him quickly because people have been praying. This is why it is easy for us to worship quickly at Cornerstone Church. It doesn't take seven songs for you to experience the presence of God. You can experience him from the moment that you enter into this space, from the moment that the service begins, because people have already been praying, because people have already been praying over your chairs, because people have already been praying over the environment, and so you can enter into the presence of God quickly. And so I want us to talk about prayer today because it's crucial. And the Bible gives us so many scriptures of how we should pray and why we should pray and the benefits of our prayer. And so that's why we're going to talk about it today. And specifically, we're going to look at four different verses that come from the Gospels on how we should pray. And these are scriptures that come from the words of Jesus. And I want to look at them and break them down so that we can understand the right way that we should be praying so that we can be connected to the Father. And if you don't know how to pray correctly, then you either pray incorrectly or you don't pray at all. When you pray incorrectly, there's a high price for prayerlessness. The price for prayerlessness is that you lose creativity. The price for prayerlessness is that you lose your joy and that you lose your hope. When you pray, a prayerful attitude allows for you to receive God's strength, for you to fight the battles that you should be fighting, for you to be winning the battles that you should be winning. When you are prayerful, it creates the right environment. Prayerful attitudes see environments begin to shift. Outcomes begin to change when we are prayerful as people. And so we're going to look at these different scriptures, and I want to break down about how we can be praying properly, how we can be praying effectively today. And the first scripture that I want to look at today is Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. I'm reading from the ESV. You can read from whichever version suits you best, but I read from the ESV. It says this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, I being Jesus, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. When people pray, your identity becomes revealed. When people pray, your identity becomes revealed. There are some things that take place in life. There are some things that happen in life. There are some things of God that are held up in the spiritual realm unless people pray correctly. And when you pray for those that oppose you, when you pray for those that persecute you, your identity as a son or as a daughter, as a child of God is revealed. Now, I'm not saying that you become a child of God when you pray for those that persecute you. You become a child of God when you receive Christ into your life. When you repent of your sins, when you flee from that life, and when you take on the identity of your sonship or your daughtership because Christ has revealed himself to you. He is now the Lord of your life. However, something happens in the spiritual realm. Your identity is revealed when you pray for those who persecute you. I cannot even explain it to you that well, that your identity as a child of God is revealed when you pray for those who persecute you. And I'm not talking about praying that God would smite them, or praying that God would curse them, or praying that illness would come upon them, or praying that something bad would happen to them, or that they would be found out in their sin. I'm not talking about praying. I'm talking about praying to bless them. I'm talking about praying that God would bless them and that God would increase them and that God's presence would be around them and that God's presence would be on the inside of them. And this is hard. It's easy to pray for people that you care about. I love praying for people that I care about. I love praying for good people. I love after every Sunday experience when y'all come down and ask for prayer. I love praying for you because I care about you. But praying for people who hurt you, praying for people who persecute you, for people who spread lies about you, for people who gossip about you, praying for those people, that's what Jesus says makes your identity as a son or as a daughter of God revealed. When you pray for those who persecute you. And the beautiful thing about it is that God has no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. Your identity as a son or as a daughter of God is revealed when you pray for those who persecute you. God has no grandchildren. As in, your identity as a child of God is revealed when you pray for those who oppose you and those who hurt you. I need you to understand this, that there is nothing between you and God. You are not a grandchild of God. You are a child of God. When you have a grandparent, you have to go through someone in order to get to that grandparent. When you have a grandchild, you have to go through someone to get to that grandchild. You don't have to do that with God. God is your father. You are a child of God. That means that you don't have to come and see me if you need prayer. You can just pray. We don't believe that you have to go through someone else in order to experience God. If God is your father, then he knows you and he loves you and he has revealed himself to you. God has no grandchildren. Your identity as a child of God is revealed when you pray for those who persecute you. When people pray, your identity becomes revealed. Is that okay? All right, number two, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, it says this, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and what? It will be opened to you. For everyone who asks what? Receives, and the one who seeks what? Finds, and to the one who knocks it will be what? Open. It will be open. James talks about this in James chapter 4 as well. You have not because you ask not. There is the very real potential that you have not received the blessing that you want because you have not asked for it. You have not because you ask not, because you ain't knocking, because you ain't seeking, because you ain't looking. You have not because you ask not. When people pray, abundance becomes your portion. When people pray, abundance becomes your portion. I'm not just talking about abundance in resources. I'm not just talking about abundance in finances. That's where our minds usually go when we talk about abundance. But I'm talking about abundance in every aspect. Abundance in every way. Abundance becomes your portion. Abundance in opportunity. Abundance in relationship. Abundance in options. Abundance in blessing. Abundance everywhere. Doors become open to you that would have otherwise been closed to you. Abundance becomes your portion when people pray. And so sometimes we pray, and like the only time that we pray during the day sometimes is at night when we sit down at the dinner table and we thank God for dinner, and you pray a nice, cute, safe, token prayer. God, thank you for this meal. Bless the hands that prepared it. Bless this food to our body. Amen. And that's a good prayer to pray. There's nothing wrong with that prayer, but you will get a token response when you pray a token prayer. You will get a small response when you pray a small prayer. I don't want you to think that this is about works, because it's not about works. I'm not saying that just because you prayed this way that God is going to respond this way. It's not about works. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that if you just increase your volume, then God will hear you more. That if you're standing when you pray, that God is more likely to. I'm not saying that. It's not about works. I believe in the sovereignty of God, that God is going to do whatever God is going to do. God is going to do whatever he wants to do. This is what I'm talking about. We should let the severity of our situation impact the magnitude at which we pray. When you have token prayers, pray, you will receive token responses. If you want to see heaven move, then your heart should be moved. When you pray earnest prayers, you will receive an earnest response. And so, when people pray, abundance becomes your portion. If you have a big need, pray to a big God, a big prayer. You'll get that one. All right, number three. This is Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. This is verse 1 through verse 8. Luke chapter 18. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in the city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down in her continual coming. That's a kind way to say that. I'm gonna start saying that to Meredith. When she continually is coming, that she would not beat me down. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? And verse 8, I tell you, he will give justice to them. What? Speedily. He will give you justice speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? We ought to pray and not lose heart. This scripture tells us that when you pray with persistence, that breakthrough takes place. When you pray with persistence, breakthrough takes place. Luke chapter 18, this portion that we just read, says that when you pray with persistence, that breakthrough will take place. I'm not talking about just vain, repetitious prayers where you are begging God, because we're talking about praying correctly. I'm not talking about just repeating the same thing over and over and over. Because the chapter immediately before this one tells us to pray and believe and then receive. So we have this in Luke chapter 17, pray and believe and receive. And then in Luke chapter 18, pray and pray and pray. It says, pray and don't keep on praying. Ask and don't keep on asking. Ask and keep on asking. Which one is it? If you come back next week, we're going to talk about it, and I'll give you the answer. Joking, I'm going to tell you right now. When you have things that you need in your life, I'm talking about the very basic essentials of your life, and you continually ask God for the very basic essentials in your life, you're no longer just asking for those things. You are beginning to question if God is really good. You are beginning to question if God is even able. You are beginning to question if God is even a good father. If my three children come to me every single day and say, are we going to have dinner tonight? They're not really asking. They're questioning if I'm a good father. If they're asking, do we have any clothes to wear today? They're not really asking if they have any clothes. They're questioning, do I have an ability to provide? And so when you continually ask God for the things that he already says that he is going to give you, you are no longer asking for those things. You are questioning if he is a good God. You are questioning if he is a faithful God. That's why it says ask and believe and receive, and then thank God when he gives the increase. The other side is true as well. When there are big things in your life that you are believing for, hopes that are in your life, things that you have not yet seen, desires that God has put on the inside of you that you are still praying about, that you have not seen come to pass yet, pray and pray and pray. Pray without ceasing. Continue to pray. Repeat and repeat and repeat. Continue to ask God with persistence, and there breakthrough will come. Why? When you pray and you ask and you ask and you ask, what is happening is that God is beginning to transform you. God is beginning to ready you for the thing that you are praying for. So you're praying for something big, and God is transforming you and getting you ready for the thing that he is getting ready to do in your life. If you always received the exact thing that you asked for, if God always said yes to every request that you ever had, you wouldn't know what to do with every blessing that God gave you. You wouldn't know what to do with it. Matter of fact, if God gave you everything that you had ever asked for, it would probably hurt you. That's why if you ask for a table, God is going to give you a tree. Just to see what you're going to do with it. If you ask for a tree, God is going to give you a seed. If you ask for an oak tree, God is going to give you an acorn. This is the spiritual principle of stewardship. Can he give you something small and test what you are going to do with it? Are you going to be a good steward with the thing that he gives you? Are you going to be a good steward with it and see it grow and see it increase and see it flourish? Are you going to be a good steward with that thing? That's why when you pray without ceasing, breakthrough comes, because you are praying and being transformed to ready yourself for the thing that you are praying for. All right, all right, all right. Next one. Y'all all right? I don't know what I would do if someone shouted out, nope. Probably shouldn't ask that question because I ain't ready for that answer. All right, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, this is verse 24. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places. Your version of the Bible might say dry places, desert places, arid places. It passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the person is worse than the first. Unclean spirits look for dry places, waterless places. But who is the Holy Spirit? He is God in you, the living water. And unclean spirits are looking for dry places. And God in you is the living water. When people pray, you will be found filled. You will be found filled. Nature abhors a vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. Everything that is empty wants to be filled. When your stomach is empty, it wants to be filled. It's going to tell you, I want to be filled. Nature, and this is true in the physical sense, in the spiritual sense. Everything hates to be empty. Your bank account hates to be empty. You hate for your bank account to be empty. Everything hates being empty. Everything wants to be filled. This is true for my house. Every time that we clean a counter off, it takes about 3 minutes for that counter to be filled again. I don't know if this is true for your home. We'll spend an hour cleaning our house and tidying and organizing and getting everything put away and doing the dishes. And then we will walk out of the room and come back, and somehow the entire counter has filled itself with stuff again. Because nature abhors a vacuum. But part of maturing in Christ is knowing what we should be casting off and what we should be putting on. Knowing what we should be fleeing from and knowing what we should be moving toward. Knowing what we should be eating and knowing what we should not be eating. This was part of the issue with Adam and Eve back in the garden. It wasn't just that they ate the fruit that they shouldn't have. Part of the issue with Adam and Eve is that God first and foremost told them, eat from all of this. This is all yours to be eating from. The issue primarily was that they didn't consume the thing that God had provided for them. And because they didn't consume what God had provided for them, that created a vacancy and a void and a desire for something else, the thing that God had not prepared for them. And this is true in your marriage. This is true in your career. This is true in every different area of your life. As mature believers, we have to know what things we are fleeing from and what things we are moving toward. In my marriage, it's not just enough to flee from unhealthy things. I should be moving toward healthy things. I shouldn't just be not doing unhealthy things. I should be doing healthy things. I should be surrounding myself with people that are going to cause me to be moving in the direction of my spouse. The same is true for my career. The same is true for my church experience. The same is true for my faith. The same is true every different area. Because nature abhors a vacuum. Part of being mature in Christ is knowing what I should be fleeing from and what I should be moving toward. It's not just enough to cast out demons. We also need to be filled. We also need to be the people who are found filled. When you pray, prayer should be like furniture in your home. Prayer should be like a couch in your home. When the unclean spirit leaves and it returns, I want you to be found filled. Prayer fullness fills you with the Holy Spirit. And it's my desire that you would be found filled. That when you pray, that you would be found filled. That in every situation, that you would be found filled. That in every environment, every different place that you go in the sanctuary, that you would be found filled. That in your home, that you would be found filled. That as you're driving, that you would be found filled. I dare you to put up your hand today and say, I will be found filled. I will be found filled. No matter where you find me, I will be found filled. Let this be your declaration today, that you would be found filled. And when you're found filled, it's not just about being filled with the Holy Spirit one time. A better translation of being filled with the Spirit is being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just be filled on a one-off occasion once upon a time. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. be being filled every day as you're driving. Be being filled as you're going. Be being filled. Pray without ceasing. And so there are some times in my life that I pray on assignment. I go to a place and I pray for a specific purpose, and I get up at a certain time and I pray. I used to try getting up at 4 a.m. thinking that there was something holy about that hour. It is an ungodly hour. But I would get up and I would try and pray at 4 a.m. I would get on my knees and I would pray. And you know what happened? I'd fall asleep. And I'd feel terrible. I don't know if you've ever done this before. I would fall asleep in the presence of God. And I would feel terrible about it. So I'm like, I got up so that I could pray this thing through, so I could intercede for my brother or intercede for my sister or pray over this situation, that we would see territories begin to shift, that we would see atmospheres begin to change. I would feel terrible about this. Like, I got up to pray and I would fall asleep. I don't know if you feel this same kind of shame, or I would feel like God was upset at me because I fell asleep. And then I was reminded of when I hold my children and when they fall asleep. And not once have I ever gotten upset at my child because they fell asleep in my arms. I don't believe that God gets upset at you when you fall asleep in his presence. Matter of fact, I think that the best way that you can sleep is when you pray yourself to sleep and when you worship yourself to sleep. I think it's going to bring about the best kind of sleep that you can experience. So I don't think that God's upset when you fall asleep as you pray. I know somebody someone who's here today, I know somebody who they pray verbally while they are sleeping. They worship audibly while they are sleeping. And that's praying without ceasing. You know, we have church just on Sunday mornings, but they're having church on Tuesday nights and on Wednesday nights when they're sleeping. That's praying without ceasing. A couple of years ago, our hot water tank went bad in our home, and we needed to replace it. And I started looking into different options, and I found this new option that meant that we didn't just have to replace the old hot water tank with a new hot water tank. We didn't just have to take a new 40-gallon tank and put it and replace it with the old one or from the old one. But there was this new system that was now available where you could have instant hot water. I was like, instant hot water? This is what I want. And so I started doing more and more research into this thing and found that there's all kinds of benefits to it. Like, you just have instant hot water and you don't have to keep on heating the hot water that you're not even using and just keeping the tank of water. And I started researching this and I started becoming an advocate for this new technology. And I started telling people about it, realizing like I'm basically trying to sell systems as I've been doing research because I've gotten so excited about this thing. And so we installed this new instant hot water system, replacing this old archaic hot water tank that we didn't want anymore. I'm so excited about this thing. It gets installed and I go to the faucet and I turn on the hot water, all filled with excitement, put my hand under the water and it's cold. That didn't work like I thought it was gonna work. So I wait and the cold water turns into warm water and then it turns into hot water. But it takes like 30 to 45 seconds for the hot water to come out. I'm like, no, this thing, it advertises itself like instant hot water. This is meant to be instant. I think maybe there's a problem with the faucet. Maybe it's because they just installed it and needs to flush the lines or something like that. So I go to another faucet. I go to our shower this time and I turn on the hot water and I put my hand under there expecting to feel hot water. And it's cold. And I wait, becomes warm, and I wait, and it becomes warmer, and then the hot water comes. But again, it takes like 30 to 45 seconds for this instant hot water to come out. So I'm all frustrated about it, and I go to the installer, and I'm like, hey, this is not really instant. When I think instant, I think like instant. It's like, no. It's not instant at the faucet. It's just when the cold water comes in, it's instantly heating it, and then that hot water has to make its way to your faucet. And I was like, well, that's not what I want. I want instant hot water at the faucet so that in the cold winter months, I can just turn on my shower and get straight in. I don't have to wait for 3 minutes for the hot water to come. And then I was all frustrated and disappointed, and I went back to everybody who I had told about this instant hot water system that I'm so sorry, it's not actually instant hot water, and I feel like it's false advertising and it doesn't really exist and it's too good to be true. I feel like I was scammed. I was telling someone about it though, and they said, well, I've got a trick for you. You can go to your faucet before you even need it, and if you just turn your hot water on just a little bit and let the hot water drip out just a little bit. I'm not talking about running the hot water. I'm just talking about turning it on just a little bit and letting the hot water run. When you come to use it, the instant hot water will be there waiting for you. I was like, well, I don't know if I want to drip hot water all night long just so that I can get in. I don't know if that's the wisest way for us to be running our house and all that kind of thing. But God spoke to me in that moment and told me that dripping hot water is like what happens when you pray in the Holy Spirit. When you pray in tongues, it's like dripping the hot water out of the faucet so that you are constantly connected, so that you are instantly connected to the presence of God, so that you don't have to wait for 3 minutes or 5 minutes to be able to experience the presence of God, so that when you come into a church service, it doesn't take you 7 songs and 25 minutes to be able to experience the presence of God. But when you are praying in tongues, when you are praying in the Holy Spirit, you are constantly connected to the presence of God. You know exactly what He wants to do. You know exactly what's getting ready to happen on a day when you pray. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, it's like when you're dripping the hot water, where you're constantly connected to what God is doing. And I want us to be a church that has an increased mantle of prayer. So I want to pray that over us today. Now, if you want that, I want you to stand with me, and I hope that would be everybody that would be standing in this place, that there would be an increased mantle for prayer in your life, individually and over your home and corporately, that we would see an increased mantle of prayer, that we would see ourselves as people that don't just pray and call God and then hang up the phone, that we would be people who are constantly communing with the Holy Spirit. If you want that today, would you just raise your hands in this place so that I can pray over you? Holy Spirit, I ask for an increased awareness of Jesus in this place. I ask for your presence to expand in this place. I ask for your presence to expand in us today, God, that we would have unbroken fellowship with the Spirit of the living God. And God, I pray that as your presence increases in us, that we would find victory, and that we would find joy, and that we would find peace, and that we would find overcoming in every situation and every environment, God. I'm praying that where prayer was difficult in the past season, that it would be easy in this season. That the times that it was difficult to connect with you in the past season, that we would enter into your holy presence quickly in this season, that we would see miracles abound and signs and wonders take place because we are constantly connected to the Father. And God, today we say that whatever it is that you are doing, we want to do that as well. We want to do whatever it is that we see the Father doing, because that's what Jesus did. And so God, I ask for an increased mantle for prayer over your people today, that we would constantly be communing with you, that we would find the joy that we need, the peace that we need, the salvation that we need, the sanctification that we need, because we are abiding in your presence today, God. And today, everybody that believes it and everybody that's receiving this increased mantle of prayer, would you put an amen into the atmosphere? And would you thank God for this increased mantle of prayer? When people pray, incredible things begin to take place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.